Radio Pulpit, 657 AM, your daily companion.
That's Night and Day by Mbani Ramaru, taking us to 24 minutes after 12 o'clock. A very good afternoon to you. If you have just joined in, happy, happy Thursday. Or let's call it 5-2 Friday. Yay. It's so close, but not quite there. And you can hear that voice. Dr. Julius is in the house. Boo, 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 boo. Good afternoon, Dr.
Absolutely. Look, how are you doing?
Good, thank you. How are you doing?
Quite excited. I think it's a good one. Close to Friday, as you see.
So close.
Close to weekend. Yeah. It's been a hectic week with lots of runarounds, but I think quite excited as well. Because I've had some time to spend midnight, you know, praying just into the crossover into October.
Yep.
I just had a burden to pray midnight with a number of people. So I placed a call out there. And over 18 people joined me.
Wow, to pray at midnight.
To pray at midnight, just 30 minutes between midnight and midnight 30. And I just wouldn't explain what God did within those days and within that time frame. And so I think piecemeal I'm honoring the midnight call, and I'm thinking it's a time also when the places are a little bit, you know, calm, quiet, but you are quite collected in your prayer endeavors. But it's not conventional.
True, true.
It's a time when sleep takes its toll over many people, and you wouldn't want to get up around that time because
especially if you've got sleep issues,
you're getting the best of sleep dose around that time. But in fact, again, I'll tell you, it's not something which I'll make mandatory, but I'll really advise and recommend that you also identify within your very tight schedule the 12th midnight prayer, or the one or the two. I don't make it so much religious, but I'm just saying the very silent hours of the night when people most often have gone to bed, and you just could give that time to the Lord. So I think that's my excitement. I feel very elated in my spirit, man, that I think God has plucked me into that. I've been doing it in the past, but I think just the reminder for us to plug back in, it's good. And I have time to pray for a lot of people.
Oh, wow.
Okay, including you.
I'm glad I get mentioned there.
So I can pray for a lot of people. My list definitely can extend, and I can pray for a much more wider range of people. And yeah, it's quite exciting. Please try it at home as well.
Yeah. I think I want to do that.
Oh, that's good.
Maybe also because I'm kind of awake at that time as well. With the twins sometimes.
Oh,
you know,
wow.
I don't know why, but so they get really restless around about that time.
Okay.
It's a good time for me.
Yeah, I think it's a time to try. If you do that, you'll see as well that it's a very potent time of prayer, but also quite a shift within your prayer schedule. I've heard people a little bit mystifying the midnight prayer, but I wouldn't want to take it to that extreme, you know, especially those who are into spiritual warfare. I don't want to, you know, mystify it, but I'm saying to a greater extent, it's a time of solitude, it's a time of seclusion, but it's a time also of deep meditation, and also consumes really your very passion to be in His presence. And definitely there are results. I'll tell you, there's no time you go to the Lord sincerely in prayer,
exactly,
and you wouldn't have results. And I believe there are results to that. And talking of results, I want to share on a passage of scripture today, which I think might resonate with a little bit of those who cry out to God for results. And if you have your Bibles, please turn with me to the book of Luke, chapter 17. It's quite an interesting pericope that we'll be considering today, because the likelihood is that this message is usually preached not out of context, but I think a lot of people preach around it. But this time around, I think God laid upon my heart to share a word around Luke. Yeah, I think I'm there without mixing my notes today. Yeah, Luke chapter 17. So it's quite instructive for us to get an insight from the Lord. The reality about our context is that it gets quite challenging time and again when we read Luke 17, 11 to 19. The Bible says, "Now it happened as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers, mm-hmm. who stood afar off," or you read another translation, see, "they stood at a distance."
Yeah.
"And they lifted up their voices and said, 'Jesus, Master, have mercy on us.'" Let me repeat verse 13 of Luke 17. If you're reading with us, I'm on Luke 17, verse 13 now. "And they lifted up their voices and said, 'Jesus, Master, have mercy on us.' So when he saw them, he said to them, 'Go show yourselves to the priest.' And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God." 16, "And fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan." "So Jesus answered and said, 'Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Where are the 9? You know, I got a message, you know, going through my research, I got a message. One pastor titled this, "Where are the 9?
Okay.
"Where are the 9? And we often see in expository preaching, the passage or the text must speak. So it's not far-fetched for you to get a topic out of your message.
True.
I'm going to get one from this as well. As well. So he said, Jesus answered and said, "Where are the 9? Were they not 10, but where are the 9? Were they not any found who returned to give glory to God except this Samaritan?" And he said to him, "Arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well." Your faith has made you well. So I want to share, if you're writing down topics today, I want to share on the topic, one of them. One of them.
Look,
one
look,
of them.
Look.
Are you telling me?
I'm writing the
topic. One of them returned. One of them returned. You know, look, it's quite exciting to understand that in the midst of the multitude, God will always look at that one person who will come back and give him gratitude, who will come back and worship him, exalt him. Because somebody said, gratitude places you on an altitude.
Yeah.
Because the reality about it is that people will want God to fix so many things in their lives, but they don't come back to give him thanks. They don't come back to give him glory and honor. So I'm talking on the subject today, one of them, and that one of them might just be you. Heaven looks at one person who repents. It's true that many are called, few are chosen, but God wants one, and the Bible shows us the power of one in the sense that just one sinner will repent. The Bible says there's joy in heaven. The really interpretation of John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever," the word "whosoever" will identify one person in the midst of the multitude. Just one person who makes that commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. So God is in the one. He identifies that one person. In the crowd where the woman with the issue of blood, having suffered for 12 years, mingles herself in that crowd, and in that crowd still there are many people who are around Jesus Christ, but there's one person Jesus identifies. I know many people are touching me, but there's one person who's tapped to the power around me and in me, and that one person might just be you. I'm talking to the one man, to the one man who definitely has come to church not just for fixing but for change in their lives, because you realize that in the context of what we're talking talking about Jesus Christ is heading to Jerusalem in the very context, but he passes in the very territory of the Jews and the Gentiles, Galilee and Samaritans. You get to understand that within the Galilee and Samaria, he meets a number of people. And these people have a peculiarity. These people have a peculiarity, and their peculiarity is that they are leopards. And in conventional customary setting, these people are unclean.
They shouldn't come close to people.
Mm-hmm. And so they find themselves within the very space of their rejectedness. And again, good news is that in that rejectedness, Christ always comes our way. You'll get me say that again, time and again. But one thing which identifies is that these are people, customarily, they will not want to mix. The Jews will not want to mix with the Gentiles, you know. They will not want to meet even the Samaritans, but the reality is that problems bring them together. And so in the hospital, there are no discrimination because we all go there because we're sick.
We're sick. No matter, you don't want to mix up
even with your enemy. You just might be sitting.
One thing is common. We are all unwell.
Come on, somebody. And it happens also in prison. It happens in situations where you are so desperate. You just need help. And you get to realize that your condition seems to transcend even your division. Your condition seems to transcend your division because you are desperate for one thing. You are desperate for the touch of the Master. You are desperate for His healing. You are desperate for transformation. You are desperate for deliverance, restoration. And so your heart does not look at that person based on their color. Even based on their social status, because this was a case of Naaman also, you know, the commander of the Syrian army. His accolades and his CV is quite compelling and outstanding. But it happens that within the very beautiful apparel of his military attire was hidden his own leprosy. And the truth about it is that you might stay in a beautiful mansion, but you still have a condition which needs you, which needs you to meet the Savior, which needs you to meet the Savior. And, you know, the blink around your life might cover up and might hide the reality of your very condition. But the truth about it is that you also need a touch. So everybody needs a touch. I'm talking even to that person who has a Lamborghini. You need a touch from God. You have a Ferrari. You're listening to us now behind your steering wheel. You need a touch. I don't know, but you need a touch from God. You need a touch from the Master. And that was Naaman. Naaman was a very critical person, very elevated, strategic person. But this little slave girl, an Israelite lady, came and told him, "I know a prophet who might have a solution to your crisis, and by name Elisha." And he takes everything around him. He takes his wealth. He takes his money. He takes everything, because sometimes people think that they can buy healing. And don't get me wrong. I'm not saying you shouldn't go to the doctor. I'm not saying that you shouldn't have medical cover. Sometimes your condition is beyond medical cover. Your condition is beyond medical intervention. And I'm talking to somebody, for the past 5 years, you've been struggling with a condition, and you've gone everywhere, like the woman with the issue of blood, and you've not had joy, you've not had a solution to your very crisis. But again, I have come to tell you, there is a solution in Jesus. There is good news in Jesus, because definitely we see the case of the woman with the issue of blood. When she heard that Jesus was in town, we've seen the case also of Elisha being accosted by this very commander of the Syrian army called Naaman. And Naaman heads to him with everything to make sure that he can secure his healing. But Elisha requests something quite simple but difficult. It's an oxymoron, you know.
Okay.
So an oxymoron is a close comparison of two close words, like sweet bitter. And so, look, he gets to Elisha, and Elisha says, look, I could help you. So he has a glimpse of hope.
Okay.
And the next phase is, but you need to get down into this dirty water. And
help and dirty water.
Yeah, yeah. And okay. you get to realize that that's a punctuation of humility. And most often what happens is that when you go meet the doctor, he'll want to diagnose you from your point of vulnerability.
Okay.
He really wants to know what's happening around you.
Yeah.
And so that's why his investigative mechanism kicks in. How long have you been sick? Where last did you visit? And where are you coming from? Okay, some questions might be quite difficult to answer, but these questions are helpful because they inform the decision that he ought to take around your diagnosis.
Yeah.
And so Naaman comes into the context of Elisha, the prophet, and Elisha knows that this guy is full of pride, full of pride. So I'm talking about these 10 lepers because their condition also is difficult. But worse still, I'm talking about the Jews who find themselves in the midst of the Samaritans because of their very condition. They wouldn't want to mix with an outcast. They wouldn't want to mix with a reject. It's just like you find yourself in an, I don't pray for an accident scene, but definitely accident does not know the rich or the poor. We all together there. And we all need divine intervention in the midst of our desperation.
Amen.
So what happens in the midst of this lepers is that Jesus Christ is heading towards that direction. And he comes within the very confluence of Galilee and Samaria, where he meets this mixed group of people. And when he meets them, he sees their very condition. But before he sees their very condition, there's a cry from them. The Bible says these people call out to Jesus. And I want to believe that they did this in unison, that they called out to Jesus and they cried out to him with one key voice. And I'm saying if you're in a desperate situation, there are two things that you ought to do. You have to cry out to Jesus. And there are two words I use, you know, to again alliterate my two M's. You have to cry out to Jesus, the Master. Because that's what they cry out to. They say, Jesus, Master. And it makes all the difference because the word master was most often used by the disciples themselves. And somebody said, some of us, we've invited Jesus Christ into our lives, but we've not invited him as a master of our lives.
Sure.
Many people have said, Jesus, come into my life, but he's not in control of their lives.
Yeah.
And so these lepers cried out and said, Jesus, Master. But the second cry is quite compelling. They don't only see Jesus, Master, but they see Jesus, Mercy.
Mercy. Okay.
So there are two words that transform your situation. When you call Jesus in acknowledgement of him being the Master, but also believing that your situation also needs mercy.
Sure.
Oh, yes, you need mercy. I don't care what building you're living in. I don't care what car you're driving in. All of us, we're a product of mercy. It is mercy that picked you from the miry clay. It is mercy that took you from the very position where you were not favored to a place where you got favored because of his grace.
Yep.
It is mercy that picked you from that place of rejection to acceptance. It is the mercy of God that forgave you of all the sins that you committed. I'm talking to somebody who said, I have committed so many sins and I don't think I can be forgiven. I believe the mercy of God can clean you up. I believe the mercy of God can clothe you. And I believe the mercy of God can put you back in your right mind, in your right senses.
Amen.
And that was a man who was possessed with demons. The Bible says when he was restored, they came and met him. He was seated, clothed, and in his right mind. And I always say these are the three positions that you always see somebody who definitely has had a change in his life. That person sits down. That person is well clothed, and that person is in his right mind. Then you will know that this one has encountered Jesus.
Amen.
And I want to believe this was a cry of these 10 lepers. Oh, Master, have mercy on us. Have mercy, one, because they were rejected by society. have mercy too, because they were rejected even by family. Or sorry to say, have mercy three, they were even rejected by the church.
Yeah, because it happens.
That makes it quite compelling, because there are some people who definitely have gone everywhere for solace. Their families have given them up. They are written off in their families. And they go to community and think, I can be assisted by the community. And the community
only
says, no.
The same,
but they were told that church is a place of healing. Church is a place of warmth, of love. Church is a place of embrace. Church is a gathering of people who can also consider your situation. Sure. And when they step into church, they are also rejected. And I want to believe that was the case with the woman with the issue of blood, because also her situation placed her customarily unclean. Mm. Oh, yeah. She was unclean. So she would have also distanced herself from family, from friends, and even from church. And I'm talking to church now, because please, I'm not condemning the church. I'm just saying, church, let's redefine our purpose. Mm-hmm. Our purpose is meant to reach out to the downtrodden. Our purpose is meant to reach out to the rejected. Yep. Christ did not come for those who are righteous, but for those who are unrighteous, sinners, aww, for those who are sick, for those who are broken, for those who are at a point of giving up. I'm talking to somebody now, pastor, step out and reach out to that neighbor who is about committing suicide, who were left alone to themselves. Mm. And that's what happened with these lepers. They were left alone to themselves, and they weathered the storm of everything, reproach, insults, and every condition came upon them. But I want to give you good news. I've not come here for
tell
something.
Tell you how you can be rejected.
I want to get you and get you to the point where something turned around these people's lives. And I want to believe that in the midst of your rejection, God still has a plan for your life. God still has a great plan for your life. And number one, what happened when they cried out, Jesus, Master, have mercy. The Bible says Jesus Christ saw them. Mm. And I want to believe that that's what happens in every situation of our lives. There are two reactions when we called out to Jesus as Master. He sees us. In fact, before even we called, he has already seen us.
Come on.
I'm talking to somebody. Before you even called, he has already seen you. Why do I say so? The choice of going through that path is because he already knew that he will meet those guys.
Yep.
So it was foreknown that day, by Jesus, he was to go through that path. And I'm telling you, Jesus is coming your way. He's just coming your way. You know, look, he's coming somebody's way. Somebody who thinks that they left to themselves. Jesus sees your crisis and he's coming your way. But number two, Jesus does not only see, to use my two S's also. He doesn't only see, but he also speaks into your situation.
Amen.
So he spoke into their situation. And he told them, surprisingly, he doesn't tell them conventionally, as he says, you are healed, you are restored. But he tells them, go show yourself to the priest. Oh, okay. Come on. How come? So these guys cried, Jesus, Master, have mercy. Mm. And he sees them and speaks out, go show yourself to the priest.
Mm.
So he knows already what they are desperate for.
Of course.
And he immediately recommends a solution. And that solution is to present yourself to a priest, because the priest at this point, a local, take note of it, the priest has a very strategic responsibility. The priest holds a legal, a clerical responsibility, and a medical responsibility. So the priest holds three, you know, in one. So medically, the priest seems to be the one verifying and certifying that you're cleansed.
Okay.
From leprosy.
Okay.
Spiritually, as a clergy, he's the one to declare that you are clean, you are holy.
Mm.
Judicially, he's an adjudicator who says, okay, look, you are worthy now to get back into society.
Integrated back into society.
So the priest has a very strategic position, yes. So he sends them to the priest. And he sends them to the priest, realizing also there's a caveat here. And that caveat is that you don't go to the priest if ever you are not healed. Mm. So by the time he sends them, they are unclean. They are not healed. But that instruction is obeyed. And I'm telling somebody now, obedience is better than sacrifice. What is sacrifice? You can be arguing with Jesus there. No, no, I can't go to the priest till you heal me. You can't do this, Jesus. Please heal me before I step out and go to the priest. But to see their level of desperation, and I don't know who is desperate for divine touch over their lives today. To see their level of desperation, they don't get into argument. They don't get into Google and fact search. You know, what's happening here? What is Jesus trying to say? Look, I'm not saying don't check, but sometimes your over-checking might also dwindle your faith. Sure. I don't know if I'm talking to somebody. Sure. Some people are having a high proclivity towards research, and sometimes a lot of information
smiling because this is a researcher we're talking to.
Might dilute your transformation. You understand?
True.
Because when
True.
You gather a lot of information which is not from God, because there's information that comes from the Bible,
yep.
and there's information that comes from the world.
Yep.
So if you gather a lot of it from the world, it might compromise your faith.
Yep.
But if ever you go so much to the Word, it might augment your faith.
Come on.
It makes all the difference.
Come on.
And so these guys don't question, because one, I think they are in desperation. Two, yep. they believe that indeed they've heard stories of the past that Jesus Christ has healed the sick. Jesus Christ has raised the dead, and he can do it for us if he tells us, let's just obey. And they step out in faith. And I'm talking to somebody, step out in faith, just believe God by his word. I'm not discarding the doctors. Please, you can visit your doctor, but visit Dr. Jesus, because he can do greater than what doctors can do in your life. I don't know what they've told you about your sickness. It might be terminal, but to God, it's not terminal. God can still change your situation. I don't know that court case that somebody waiting for a judgment, but God can turn it around to your favor.
Amen.
And let us believe God when he says something, because when he speaks, please obey. And they step out in faith. And while they step out in faith, the Bible says they head towards that direction. Mm. So they leave their seclusion and they're heading towards the priests, believing that in the course of the way they will be healed. And indeed, while they're heading there, they are checking on their body, because leprosy is contagious, you know, and it's visible from the outside. And while they're going, they're checking. And that's what makes faith. Faith is sometimes just checking.
Sure.
Oh, come
on. So he doesn't heal them immediately.
He doesn't
sends
heal them
to a priest for a verdict of their healing. And they go in confidence.
And they go in confidence.
Despite the fact that they're not seeing what they came to Jesus for.
And that's what faith is all about.
Sure.
Faith is just trusting God for what you do not see, but believing that it will come to pass. Hebrews 11 verse 1.
Substance of things hoped for, the evidence for, of things not seen.
So they move out in faith, and all they're doing, they're checking their body. They're checking. Mm. Maybe they're checking each other, but let me tell you, I want to believe that they're not checking each other. They're checking themselves.
Come on.
They're checking themselves.
Sure.
Because the truth about it is that each and every one of us, we have faith, but definitely God is saying your faith. That's why I'm saying one of them, your faith. And in the midst of their going, one of them, definitely all of them get restored, all of them get healed, but one of them realizes that indeed, my healing has taken place. I am healed. I'm changed. I'm transformed. And he stops his trip to the priests.
Okay.
And makes a return to the high priests.
Okay.
It makes all the difference. It makes all the difference. It makes all the difference, because the reality about it is that some of us go to church to be fixed, you know. Mm. But the reality about it is that God is bigger than even the pastor.
Yeah.
God is bigger than even the under shepherd, because Christ is the chief shepherd.
Come on.
And he sent them to the priest. Little did they know that he was the high priest.
Ooh.
That he is the one who spoke over their situation.
Mm.
Most of the time, the pastors will just verify, validate. But the reality is that pastors don't do miracles. God does the miracles. He uses vessels. So let no pastor take God's glory. I just have to submit that this day. Let nobody take his glory. God uses you as an instrument, but definitely that instrument is just a vessel in the hands of God. And every glory, all glory must return to God alone.
Should never be shared with man.
Should never be shared. And Jesus Christ has a question, but just one. You know, the Bible says only one in the midst of the ten, and Jesus gives us a small arithmetic here that the reality is that where are the nine? That's a
and
simple
one.
And they're
still going to report to the priest, not realizing there's a high priest there.
There's a high priest. Thank you, Loco.
Sure.
So where are the nine? Where are the nine? You guys came here 10. Where are the nine? Look, I'm talking to somebody. You've always gone to church, you know, to be fixed. Fix off your financial situation. Fix off your marital situation. Fix off your very material condition. But the truth about it is that Jesus Christ wants to go beyond the fixing of your outside. He wants to go within and touch the healing of your soul. So this nine go excited that they are healed from the outside. But this one Samaritan comes back and realizes that, oh, the person who sent us is bigger than the person we're going to see.
Come on,
somebody. Okay, the person who sent us is bigger than the person we're going to see. So I need to come back and give him praise.
Yeah.
And I'm talking to people who have come to church because their situation has been quite difficult. Some people, you know, local come to church when they are desperate for money. When they are desperate for husband. Oh, come on, please, sister, I'm not after you. When they are desperate for wife, when they are desperate for a job, and they come just for that fixing. And when they
Once they've got it, they're gone.
Out of the church.
Yeah.
But let me tell you, I'm talking to somebody who is not coming just for job fixing, wife fixing, money fixing. But I'm talking to somebody who needs more than the outward fixing. The person needs a fixing of their soul. And Jesus Christ is the only one who can fix your soul. He's the only one who can change your life.
Amen.
Don't go to God only for money. Don't go to God only for a job. Don't go to God only for healing. Go to God for the healing of your soul. And Jesus Christ can heal you greater than what you can even think.
Amen.
And this one person, and you are that one person I'm encouraging, one person comes back to church and gives praise to God. I want to see his posture. I wrote them down. So look at his posture before we close. You know, the one man, that one man observed, number one, that he was healed. Number two, he came back. Number three, praising God. Number four, with a loud voice. Mm-hmm. Number five, threw himself at the feet of Jesus.
Right.
Number six, thanked him.
Mm.
Number four, he was an outcast. Oh, the last one, he was an outcast. It seems as if, local, those who have passed through a greater propensity of rejection, abandonment, sickness, they have a greater voice praising God than those who have been in abundance.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm talking this to somebody. Those who have gone through tough times, those who have gone through a greater degree of suffering, might know how to praise God than those who have just experienced. And that's what is happening. You couldn't hold this guy from worshiping, praising, thanking God, prostrating before God. And I'm telling you, if God has done something in your life, may you be that one man who comes back to give God praise, to give God thanksgiving, to worship him, prostrate yourself, come back to your high priest. Let me tell you, if you came for money, that money will get finished. There's one thing that doesn't get finished, the love of God. God loves you, the presence of God. Let me tell you, don't go after the thing of God.
Ooh.
Go after the God who provides those things.
Come on.
And he will change your situation. I'm talking of that one man who is reluctant to give their testimony in church and says, I have a small testimony, but let me tell you, in God, there's no small testimony. And so I want to pray for you. You just might be that one man. I've come with a message. It's a message of thanksgiving. Don't hold your praise. The woman with the issue of blood wanted to take her healing and run away. Jesus Christ said, no. Somebody touched me. I know your testimony might not be palatable. It might not be good to the ears of people, but please share.
Come on.
And I'm praying for somebody, Father, in the name of Jesus. I don't know who's gone through a medical condition, a financial condition, a marital condition, which has been quite debilitating, difficult for them. But I'm praying because you are still healing. You are still restoring. But above all, you're still saving. Because this one leper who came back, he did not only get healed, but the Bible says he got saved. Oh, Father, I'm praying for people who don't only come to you for the outward healing, but the inward saving. Oh God, save somebody, touch somebody's life even today, and restore them so that we might go out there and tell the world of the great high priest of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, of He who loves us so much that He died on the cross for us. Bless your people this day and change your lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Dr. Jay. Until next week.
God bless you.
Come live the life at 657 AM.
Do you need prayer? Radio Pulpit, in collaboration with Need Pray, is ready to stand in prayer with you. Contact us today with your prayer request at 012-334-1222 or WhatsApp us on 067-429-7564. You can also visit us on radiopulpit.co.za for your online prayer request. We will faithfully pray with you.
Join Dwayne Van Rensburg in the program Filling the Gap every Monday night at 7, where we aim to bridge the gap between young and old by promoting dialogue. Let's talk about the issues that matter in Filling the Gap on Radio Pulpit 657 AM.
You and 657 AM and life, a winning team on the road to eternity.